Last Sunday, we started our six-part sermon series about our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, and we began with the word affirmation. God affirmed in the earliest moment of creation the fundamental goodness of that creation, and God affirmed Jesus, and by extension, we who are also God's children, as the beloved, in whom God is well pleased. The love and goodness of God form the core of our identity. They are not something we earn. They are not something that can be dislodged due to our own deficiencies. When we embrace this fundamental truth, we are ready to listen, really listen, for God's invitations in our lives. That's the second word, invitation. As we move on, you'll see how closely linked our two words are, and you'll see why we had to start with affirmation in the first place. Invitations offer specific, time-sensitive choices about how you are going to spend your time and resources. A friend may invite you to her birthday party. A headhunter may invite you to apply for a new job. A coach may invite you to join a club soccer team. Or God may invite you. Let me rephrase. God does invite you, me, each of us, to join God in God's mission of healing and reconciliation in this world. We'll get to that mission next week, since mission is our third word. For now, let's stay with invitation, God's invitation. When God invites us to partner with God in mission, we always have a choice, and the mission is always specific. Individual invitations may be time-sensitive due to the exigencies of what a particular mission is, but God's invitations never expire. God renews them day by day, hour by hour. God is always inviting us into deeper relationship, into closer partnership, into greater service. In our story this morning from the Hebrew Scriptures, God calls to the boy Samuel four times. No three strikes and you're out here. On the fourth time, Samuel responds to God's invitation. But I imagine God would have kept calling until Samuel and Eli figured out what was happening. Sadly, unlike Samuel, we often turn away from the invitations God sends us. We ignore them or decline them because of where or why God delivers them. And this is because most often God's invitations intersect with our inadequacies, our pain, or our brokenness. Each of us is broken in one way or another, or in many ways. Brokenness is part of the human condition because perfection is far from us and sin is near. We hurt each other. We hurt ourselves. But when we allow God to move in our lives, we discover God redeeming this brokenness by offering us invitations to go to the center of our pain. Because only at the center of our pain can healing begin. And because only at the center of our pain will we find solidarity with others feeling the same pain as we. God's desire to extend holy invitations is not the reason we are broken. Rather, accepting a holy invitation is the best way to make our brokenness mean something for ourselves and to others. I'd like to share with you a deeply personal story about my own brokenness to illustrate this point. I share this not to garner sympathy, but to demonstrate from my own experience God's astonishing ability to redeem brokenness and refashion old pain into new possibility. When I was 11 years old, the church broke me. My father was 3 years into his rectorship at his first church when everything started to fall apart. His misplaced enthusiasm and zealous naivete collided with an intransigent establishment that said it wanted change and growth, but was not ready to face the consequences of such things. My father was the proverbial unstoppable force, and the establishment the immovable object, and my mother, sister, and I were caught in the middle. I do not remember much about the conflict, but I do remember one Sunday morning. It is a fixed point in my life. I was acolyting at the 8 o'clock service. My father stood up to preach, but a few minutes into his sermon, a man in the congregation also stood up, a man who had been a friend to our family when we first moved there. He spoke out sharply, telling my father to sit down and shut up. I had never heard anyone speak to my dad that way, let alone during a church service. I started to cry. My father came over and calmly asked if I'd like to go home. I nodded, and he hugged me and helped me back to the sacristy. Later that week, several parishioners accused my father of planning and then staging my tearful departure from the church. A few months after that, we moved to Alabama and were met by the most gracious and loving congregation a clergy family could ask for. But I didn't trust them. I always wondered when the betrayal would happen. I was broken. So where is God's holy invitation in this story? How is God redeeming this brokenness? Let me tell you. The church that broke my family was also called St. Mark's. It was here in New England, about 60 miles from this spot. It was my father's first call as rector. We lived next door in the rectory. Our family had two young children, a boy and a girl. You might see a pattern here. Somehow, by accepting God's holy invitations throughout my life, my family has arrived at a place close to the center of my childhood pain. And I feel God redeeming that pain every day as I collaborate in ministry with the wonderful people at this St. Mark's, and as I walk with people who have also been broken by the church. Each of us is or has been broken in one way or another, but through God's invitations, our brokenness can mean something. Perhaps alcohol ruined your life years ago, but you're a dozen years sober now, and you sponsor new members of AA who are trying to turn their lives around. Perhaps the scourge of gun violence cruelly took the life of a loved one, and now you rally support to end such senseless killing. Perhaps you were in the closet in high school and know the pain of one living a lie, and now whenever you meet a gay teen, you do all in your power to bring hope to that person's life. It gets better, you say, and you mean it. These are God's invitations, delivered to the heart of our own pain and brokenness. And this is where affirmation re-enters our discussion. Since so many of God's holy invitations originate in our brokenness, our pain can trick us into thinking the invitation is meant for someone else. But we err when we think that God only uses the whole parts of us, as there aren't many of those anyway. That's why we must remember that before anything else, God affirmed us as God's good and beloved children. No amount of brokenness can keep God from inviting us into deeper relationship, into closer partnership, into greater service. We'll pick up this greater service next week when we reach the third word, mission. But for now, I'd like to share one last story of finding God's invitation in our brokenness. It comes from Leo McGarry, the chief of staff on the fabulous TV show The West Wing, and a recovering drug and alcohol addict. Leo tells the struggling Josh Lyman this parable. This guy is walking down the street when he falls in a hole. The walls are so steep he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, "Hey, you, can you help me out?" The doctor writes out a prescription, throws it down in the hole, and moves on. Then a priest comes along. The guy shouts out, "Father, I'm down in the hole, can you help me out?" The priest writes out a prayer, throws it down in the hole, and moves on. Then a friend walks by. "Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?" And the friend jumps in the hole. Our guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both down here." And the friend says, "Yeah, but I've been down here before, and I know the way out." Amen.